Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our Newsworthy Clips article on page 24. It is June 14th, and we hope that you're having a great day. In the studio with me to help discuss this topic, I have two panelists. First, welcome Joe. How are you doing today, Joe?
Doing great. I'm glad to be here and talking about something I love, gaming. Not the disorder part, just the gaming part.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you don't love that part. So you are a video gamer.
Gamer is such a strong word. I enjoy playing video games when I have the opportunity. I do tend to read more than I game. But I guess that's just, you know, I'm getting older, and so I liked books more than video games. I'm not sure. I don't know when switch happened.
That's fair. That's good that you like to read more. I think that's everyone would commend you for that. What type of video games do you like to play?
So now I really enjoy handheld games, so like Nintendo, 3DS, things that I can take with me. In college, I was more of a computer or a console gamer, like PlayStation, Xbox. But after I came to Asia and I started traveling more, moving around more, it just wasn't convenient to have like a big library of games and different pieces of technology. So handheld devices are sort of the thing I go to.
All right. And we also have Pauline here. Welcome, Pauline.
Hey, it's always good to be here.
Pauline, do you enjoy playing video games?
Well, now that I have a smartphone, I just got one in the last year or so.
Okay.
Is the first time I got a smartphone. And all of a sudden, like, the convenience of these little games you can get on your phone really kind of sucked me. And I've never really been a game player before that, but I guess I am a little bit now.
What type of games do you like to play?
Well, just silly games like Bejeweled or Angry Birds. I don't know. I think I immediately feel embarrassed as soon as I even admit that I play them, but they are a lot of fun.
They are. I was playing Angry Birds on a plane recently. That's the first time I've played that in a long time. I used to have that on my phone as well. I'm not a big person who, I don't play games a lot. I was playing Mario Kart or something the other day, but that's the first time I've played a game in, well, forever. So I used to play, I had the regular Nintendo. So, you know, that was a really long time ago. And I enjoyed playing that when I was a kid. And then I moved from that to the first PlayStation, and it was such a big jump that I didn't even really enjoy that. So it was too advanced for me. So you can imagine now it's way too advanced. And so I have not kept up, but games are fun to play sometimes, aren't they?
Well, they're really enjoyable. It can be a nice way to relax. I think of especially mobile games, if you're playing with a friend, that's also really enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I do see a big difference in my head between, I don't know, even me playing a game on my phone or playing all by yourself, something versus playing like Mario Kart or something on the Wii where you have some friends together and you're all playing is really interactive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting to see how many different types of games are out there and the different kinds of social components they may or may not have. There's just a whole different world out there of different types of games.
Sure.
I think something that's kind of interesting, I remember in college, I had this professor and he did game studies. And it's become this growing field, especially as more people are making games that try to tell a story through its gameplay.
Right.
Whether that be, you know, something about the environment where you're playing a game where you have to help clean up the environment and see more about trash, like sort of independent games, or larger games that try to tell a very dynamic story where your actions impact how other characters in that world react to you. And so there's a lot to be said about gaming as sort of a storytelling device as well. Which is, I find to be very fascinating that gaming is turning into such a big thing.
It is fascinating, and the graphics are incredible. I can't believe the graphics. Sometimes I see people playing, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty intense. And a lot of times you see a game like that where they're telling a story, and so it's advanced a lot from the original gaming systems like the first Nintendo.
Right, where you have, you know, Mario, and he's like stepping on mushrooms.
Yes, but I like that because it's simple.
I loved Mario.
But the point is, we can get into games too much, just like anything else. We can become addicted. You can become addicted to almost anything. And so it's not good, of course, if you play games too much. It can cause a lot of problems in your life, and that is our topic today. So if you have your magazine, please open it up to page 24, and we'll have our first reading for today.
gaming disorder recognized as a worldwide mental health condition. Americans had Pac-Man fever as far back as 1981, but it has taken until now for the World Health Organization, WHO, to officially recognize that playing video games too often could be a mental health disorder. The WHO is planning to add the term gaming disorder to its official list of diseases, according to a draft of the organization's 2018 International Classification of Diseases. The WHO's description of gaming disorder says that those who are afflicted are characterized by a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior, either on digital devices like smartphones or video gaming offline on machines. According to the WHO's description, you may have a problem if your symptoms include impaired control over gaming. You just can't stop playing. Or you give an increased priority to playing video games to the point they take precedence over other life interests and daily activities, like eating and sleeping and socializing. And the continuation and escalation of gaming continues even after you suffer negative consequences, like getting fired for playing on company time, or you keep losing relationships because you just aren't present. The WHO's classification means that doctors and insurance companies can recognize gaming disorder as a disease.
Well, we start off with a familiar game called Pac-Man, and Pauline, have you played that before?
Yes, I love Pac-Man. It just brings up all these nostalgic feelings for me. I remember, like, going to a pizza restaurant, and they used to have the games you could put quarters
like
in.
Like the arcade style.
Yeah, the arcade style Pac-Man. So, if you don't know what Pac-Man is, it's that yellow circle with, like, a triangle cut out of it for its mouth, and it would go around and eat these little pellets while these ghost-looking things would chase it.
Yes, it's probably, you know, maybe the most familiar game across the board. People know that game. And maybe it was one of the first really popular games that came out, I'm not sure. But they use it as a reference here, so you know that it must be well known. And they call it Pac-Man fever. It says Americans had Pac-Man fever as far back as 1981. Why do they say Pac-Man fever?
Pac-Man fever, and this fever is talking about a wide range and, like, appeal. Everyone's interested. Everyone's talking about it, playing it, spending time doing it. So that fever doesn't mean that they have some sort of illness. It just means everyone is hooked on that game.
And they're saying that, you know, being hooked on a game, on an electronic game, isn't something brand new. It didn't just happen in the last couple of years. They say, you know, Pac-Man fever happened over 30 years ago. In 1981, they were talking about Pac-Man fever. But still, we have, obviously, as we were talking about before, changed a lot since then. There's so many more games available, and many people will say they're even much more addicting and have a lot more layers to them. So we are kind of in a new era, clearly, with gaming.
Because they are so addicting, or can be addicting, some people develop a disorder. They're actually calling it, the World Health Organization is calling it a gaming disorder. And they're officially recognizing that playing video games too often could be a mental health disorder. And by them classifying this as a disorder, do you think this will be helpful, Joe?
I think this can be helpful in a few ways. One, it just identifies that this could be a problem. I remember reading a few things from WHO just about how lots of people play games, but not everyone gets addicted.
Sure.
And so they recognize that. But they're saying, you know, if you're severe, if you have a severe problem, we want to be able to say that this is a disorder and that there should be resources if you need help.
Yeah. So hopefully it will, end goal is to help people. You know, not to just label people and make them feel bad, but hopefully they can get the help they need if they're willing to recognize that they have this disorder.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we think about alcohol addiction and interventions that, same thing many people would say, you can occasionally have a glass of wine or have something to drink and not be an addict. You don't need to be, you know, labeled in any way. But we all generally, I think, throughout society, around the world, understand there's a point where that gets to be too much and it's really a problem. And I think the label for that helps everybody just affirm there is a point when this happens that needs to be taken very seriously. And I think maybe a lot of people in the gaming world, at least especially as it was first starting with games, nobody believed that was true with games. So this is kind of coming together of maybe a more global consensus, like, well, there is a point where that can get really unhealthy. We have a word for it, and a very serious, legitimate organization is giving it legitimacy to be concerned about it.
Right. So WHO is adding it to their official list of diseases, according to a draft out there as of this year. But what is the description? How do you know if you possibly have this disorder? We get some details about that.
Right. So the description here is that, you know, if you're afflicted with that disorder, you have a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior. So that recurrent just means it's continually happening. Mm-hmm. You're constantly playing a game of some sort. And so that persistence just really emphasizes that you very rarely stop doing the behavior.
Right. Okay. And so that kind of gives you the idea that you may have a problem, which sounds pretty obvious, but maybe you don't stop to think about it.
Well, and it's also hard, right? It's always hard to quantify how much is too much. What's the difference between frequently, a lot, and way too much, right? But they do continue to lay it out a little further for us here in the article to give us more specifics to think about. How do you quantify that? So I like some of the symptoms they talk about in, let's see, I think it's the fourth paragraph here. Mm-hmm. It says, you may have a problem if your symptoms include impaired control over gaming. You just can't stop playing. So first of all, if you notice you want to stop, you've acknowledged you need to, and you just can't seem to do it, you don't have control over your own impulse to do so.
Yeah, that word impaired has to do with something being weakened, right? A lot of times we say, you know, someone has impaired vision. Their vision is not what it should be. It is weak. And so here, the person doesn't have a lot of control over it. They feel they cannot overcome this.
Right. And so that impaired control, not everyone can identify with gaming disorders, but I think most of us could identify more with perhaps social media disorder, if I could put a label on it. That sort of constant desire to check things. You're checking Instagram, checking Facebook, checking Line, checking whatever thing you can. You know, your phone buzzes a little bit, or you wake up in the morning and the first thing you look at is Facebook or Instagram. You know, that sort of issue. It's very similar.
Right. And maybe you tell yourself, okay, you know what? I've noticed I don't like how much time I'm spending on Facebook or whatever. I'm not going to do it in the mornings before I go to work or before I at least have my first cup of coffee. But then you notice, even though you tell yourself that, you can't stop yourself from doing it. That would be that impaired control, right? But even then, I think sometimes it's hard to know when we're just like, what's the lack of self-control in general and what's starting to become addiction. So I think they continue to kind of keep stepping us through some different thoughts on that here in this article. Because the next things it says is that you give an increased priority to playing video games to the point that it takes precedence over other life interests and daily activities like eating, sleeping, and socializing. I think this is a really great point where it's like, okay, these are some really strong factors now.
Yeah, these are red flags right here. I think if it's taking over your life in some way, you can't, you know, you're not going to work or you're not eating enough or something like that, then you know that you have an issue. And they use this word precedence here. That's a good word to know.
Right. Precedence just in this context talks about something that's higher than or more important than other things. So for instance, you know, I think now a lot of us would agree that convenience sometimes takes precedence over privacy, where, you know, I can hook up my entire life to Google and it makes life very easy, but now I don't have any privacy.
Yeah, right.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting to use the word, you know, red flags. We talk about red flags that indicate there's some kind of serious problem.
Right.
And here talking about gaming taking precedence over even eating. You know, that is a very serious issue.
Right. It's funny if one time you're like, whoa, I played this game for so long, I never had lunch. But if you start to notice that's not just one time, right, that's happening a lot, then that should be a red flag. I think it's easy to make things like that sound funny or just like, oh, how crazy is that?
Right.
But to start to say like, whoa, actually, you know, if you're missing meals or you're just staying up way later than what is healthy and this is beginning to be a pattern, then we really need to be serious about it and not think of it as just kind of a funny side thing.
I think that's the key word. You said pattern, and we have to look at the patterns in our lives and see if we have unhealthy patterns. If it just happened once or twice, maybe it's not a big deal, but we can look at the patterns and that can tell us a lot.
Right, which is why terms like persistent, recurrent are so important. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of when Minecraft first came out, my roommate, I was just going to bed around 10 o'clock. He goes, oh, this new game came out. I'm just going to try it for a little bit, and then I'll go to bed. I wake up at 6 in the morning, and he's still playing. And
goes,
are those birds? Like, those are birds. I didn't sleep. No, you did not.
Wow.
But that happened once or twice, not his entire life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very big difference. Well, it continues on. It says, the continuation and escalation of gaming continues even after you suffer negative consequences. And this is a big point. If you see bad things happening, like you lose your job, something like that, and you continue to play and nothing changes, then you know you have a real issue. And that word escalation just means that, you know, things keep increasing in some way.
Yeah, this was the paragraph that really helped me lock in on this idea as an addiction, to really be able to say, oh, wow, yeah, that definitely is addictive behavior. That's really scary. And I'm sure this does happen to people. And of course, we don't want anyone we love or just really anyone to have to get to that point before they recognize that they could be on their way to such a destructive pattern that they're out of control with. So that's why red flags, yellow flags before it are important to pay attention to, so you don't end up at a place where you're fired from your job or you lose a relationship or things in your life really get out of control.
Yeah, it's very unhealthy.
Right. You know, I remember another group of friends in college. There were two or three people I knew who, when World of Warcraft was very popular, they actually got kicked out of school because their grades had gotten so bad. They stopped attending classes because it got in the way of their gaming schedule.
Yeah, that's intense.
You know, that is a serious problem at that point.
It is, and hopefully that they made some changes, I hope, after that.
Actually, for them, it took a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took them getting kicked out of school, and then about a year later, they finally, like, made it back onto campus and slowly got reintegrated. But they had to basically have their computers taken away before they could finally start to see any recovery.
And these difficult changes, you know, this came up, and maybe the school could have said, oh, okay, we'll just try to work with you through this. But sometimes these extreme measures are what people need as sort of a wake-up call. We all need those sometimes, even though it's difficult. In the end, it's better for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through here many details about, you know, what this looks like, what it looks like if you have gaming disorder. And so we hope that this is helpful for you. In a moment, we're going to talk about how to self-diagnose that. Pauline, you have another thought?
Well, I really actually find this last paragraph before our next section really interesting as well. We had started to talk about this a little bit before about what does it mean that the WHO is, you know, officially recognizing this as a disorder. And, you know, we had said, well, you know, it just adds with some legitimacy. We're all starting to be aware of it more. But on a very specific, very practical note, here it tells us that by them classifying it as a disorder, now doctors and insurance companies can come behind this issue and will be able to diagnose it as well. And insurance companies may be able to put that into their policy, so there's some financial help available for people who need to go to seek treatment.
Right.
And then maybe there's also some more impetus for for treatment centers to start to build a program to help people. So, you know, that's really important. It's a great thing to hear that that's happening.
So in the end, hopefully more people can get help and they don't have to pay a lot of money out of pocket if their insurance company will cover it. And so that's one more plus for this. Well, how do you know if you have it? Can you self-diagnose? Well, we do have some questions we want to take you through. So let's get into that as we go to our last reading for today.
Self-diagnosing the disorder. Forbes suggests you can self-diagnose by asking yourself the same questions people use to detect alcohol addiction. Just swap the word alcohol for gaming. If you identify strongly with the four questions, you may have a problem and are advised to try to cut down. 1. Have you ever felt you should cut down on your gaming? 2. Have people annoyed you by criticizing your gaming? 3. Have you ever felt bad or guilty about your gaming? 4. Are video games usually the first thing you think about in the morning when you wake up?
Well, we usually don't recommend, I guess, self-diagnosing. We usually say go to a doctor, and of course that is always helpful. But with something like this, you may want to look for some warning signs. And so we do have some questions here to look at. And this comes from Forbes magazine, which is a very well-known publication. And they suggest you can self-diagnose by asking yourself the same questions you might ask if you're a person who is addicted to alcohol.
Right. The truth is addiction, especially addictive behaviors, are very similar across a number of substances and activities. And so what works question-wise for alcohol can work for gambling and a whole range of activities that you might be addicted to.
And if you do find that yourself or someone else, after thinking about these questions, self-diagnoses as, yes, this is a problem, then I think the point is you don't stop at self-diagnosis, right? If you see, like, oh, there's an issue, that's when, you know, self-diagnosis is for the purpose of recognizing if you need help and need to seek out further resources.
Right. It's just a starting point. Well, it says here, just swap the word alcohol for gaming. And so let's take a look at it. And if you know someone who could benefit from this, you can share this information in a loving way. Don't annoy them by it. At least don't annoy them too much. Well, if you identify strongly with the four questions, you may have a problem and you are advised to try to cut down. So let's take a look. Question one, Joe.
So question one deals with, have you ever felt you should cut down on your gaming? So cut down, you're playing too much and need to spend less time playing games.
Okay, and so I'm sure a lot of people who play maybe now and then think, oh, maybe I should cut down. This is just one question, and how often do you feel that way, right? We have to look at each question and put all the information together. What is question two, Pauline?
Question two says, have people annoyed you by criticizing your gaming? The first time I read this, I had to read it a couple times because I thought they were going to say, have you annoyed people by gaming? And I thought, well, I think it annoys my mom anytime anyone plays a game.
Right.
So I don't know if that's fair enough. But actually, they're not saying, does it annoy people in general when other people play games? They're saying, do you get defensive? Do you get upset or annoyed when someone else, you know, asks you to stop gaming or says something critical about the way you're spending time with games? And if so, that might be a red flag.
Yeah, and how often are people doing this? You know, that's something to think about as well. What's question three?
Question three is, have you ever felt bad or guilty about your gaming? So how do you personally feel about your behavior?
That's right. Sometimes maybe you feel you're playing too much and you feel kind of guilty about that. Well, how often does that happen? And question four, are video games usually the first thing you think about in the morning when you wake up? Now, that's a serious issue. I think question four is something to really pay attention to.
Yeah, again, I don't think any of these questions, even altogether, would mean that you have a serious problem. It doesn't necessarily mean you're at the point where you're going to lose your job and relationships. Mm. But if you did say yes to all four of these, or you think I'm pretty close to all that, at least it's a moment of opportunity for self-reflection to think about, you know, am I at all, you know, on that path towards that? How is my control when it comes to, how much I play? And if I am feeling guilty about this and I do want to cut down, how do I start doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Something that I think is worth noting, and you might ask yourself, why are they just now declaring this as a disorder? And part of that, there's a lot of research now that shows the way games are designed now versus back when Mario and Pac-Man were coming out. They're designed in such a way that they actually are addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So like social games, mobile gaming, they're often made in a way that the game only lets you play 15, 20 minutes a day.
Mm.
And so you never get bored of it.
Wow, okay.
And so you are constantly thinking about it because it cuts you off early.
Oh.
And so like some games, if you want to play more, you have to kick in cash or do different things. But they often cut you off just before you can get bored with the game.
Because
usually you play Angry Birds for a week and then you never play it again.
Right, right, right.
But now these games are designed to keep you kind of hooked and interested longer.
Right. Well, what should you do if you know that you are suffering from this? Well, there are many things that you could do, and a doctor could help with that. But you could, you know, one thing you can do is try doing something different. Play a sport. Replace that time that you play video games with something else. Don't just stop playing video games and sit around and wish you were playing, you know?
For me, I think it really helps to, like you said, replace it, but also to see if there's somebody else that you can swap goals with or be like, ah, I'm trying to do less of this. What about you? I don't know. I feel like for me, with particularly goals that you're starting to have some, like you're maybe losing some control over, I think some social pressure, but not just like you should stop doing this, but like together we're both going to commit.
Yes.
We're not going to pick up our phones or do any kind of gaming before we go to work. And then when we see each other at work, we're going to check in and be like, did you? Like, no, I stayed away. What about you? You know, I think little things like that can help. So everyone's different, but trying to like, you know, brainstorm ways that are going to help you restore control and feel good about your usage.
That's right. An accountability partner, we would call that. And that's helpful in many areas of life to have someone to kind of walk through that with you. You're helping them and they're helping you. You're helping each other. And that's a great way to get support. Maybe someone in your family can do that or a friend can do that. Well, we are out of time for today. We thank you for joining us for day one of our Newsworthy Clips article. Come back tomorrow as we switch gears and we talk about theme parks in Asia. Join us tomorrow. And until then, this is Brandon.
This is Pauline.
This is Joe.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.